Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Lainey Wilson, welcome back to the UK.
I'm back.
You are back. So the last time we saw you, you were like, I'm coming back. I'm never going to not come back. And here you are. You're good to your word. Every time you come back, though, it's like you're a bigger superstar than before.
Things are moving fast.
But, you know, every time we see each other, this is the conversation we have, and I absolutely love it because, you know, I think we first met, was it 2018?
It was 2018. It was Country Music Week.
This was pre-hat, Lainey.
This was pre-hat. Actually, that trip is...
When the hat happened?
When the hat happened. I mean, I've always worn, like, cowgirl hats because I grew up riding, but my friend Chris Bryce, the drummer...
British.
Yes.
Yes.
Here in town, made me my first flat brim hat. So it started right here.
You know, he told me that story, and I was like, "What, you started?" And he was like, "I did." And then I think he moved to Nashville, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. He's there drumming for a friend of mine, Meg McCree, and
yes,
life is great.
And
I'm
here
proud
you are
for
wearing a hat.
That's it. We love Chris Bryce.
But so back we do, and he's such a lovely, lovely guy. He never made me a hat, but I'm sure it's coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't. My head doesn't work in hats. I got a big old ET head.
So I don't know. We're gonna get you a hat.
All right, get me a hat. But there we were. You were pre-hat. And this was Bush Hall, I think. And you were doing a little showcase.
Yes.
We met backstage and had us a good old time. And then you went out there, and that was your first ever thing in the UK. And, you know, I was watching from the back, and I could tell, having been to a lot of these things with new artists, I could just tell the audience they were there in the palm of your hand.
Well, this was the first time anybody ever listened to me.
Right.
Was over here. I mean, I told them the other night, I said, y'all caught on a lot quicker than the folks at home did. I mean, I was playing songs over here that my family members didn't know. You know, they couldn't sing it back to me. And you could hear a pin drop in the building. So I'll never forget that. And that's why it's really important to me to always remember the folks that, I don't know, helped me out in the beginning and gave me a shot. And I feel like people here gave me a shot.
Yeah, I saw the video of you saying this. I think it was on stage in Manchester, maybe. Yeah. Or, but every stop that you've done on this run, it seemed, from the videos, massive. The audience, like the Glasgow audience, the Belfast audience, Manchester. I mean, and it's not just the audience digging on it. It's you really feeding back on it as well. How does that feel for you to, I mean, because we've talked about this before as well. Like, you know, we're both small town people. And here you are halfway across the world and the audience continues to grow. I mean, we're going to talk about all your many accolades that have happened since we last saw each other, but just on kind of a personal level, to be halfway across the world in a place that maybe you never even thought you'd visit, let alone be known
in. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm sure you kind of, you understand too. I mean, we're doing like one and the same thing. We're from very similar towns, you know, from very similar types of people. And I mean, I don't know about you, but like growing up, I never imagined that my job could bring me somewhere like this and that people here would be able to relate to my story or they would find their story somehow within mine. And that's just, it just goes to show you that we're all a lot more alike than you think.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something universal in a lot of music, but in your songs in particular and your storytelling, it's there, but also the way that you relate to people when you're telling those stories. Because I think it's also, sometimes it's just as important as how you tell a story as the story itself.
It is about that delivery, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. But that delivery is a lot easier when you've got an audience that seems
that
like they're paying attention and listening. I've played for a lot of different kinds of audiences. Some that they could have cared less if I was up there, you know, and And that has never been the case here. So,
what's the roughest crowd you played for where you just thought, oh, Lord, have mercy, help me?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, when I was like 17 through 21, I was playing with this band called the Cadillac Kings back in Louisiana. It was like Arklamas, so like Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi. And I was telling somebody the other day, I think me and the band were playing If I Fall, Will You Let Me Down Easy? If I Fall, Will You Let Me Down Easy? Somebody literally punches somebody right in the face as I'm singing, If You Fall, Will You Let Me Down Easy? And they fall and hit the ground, and I'm like...
And did you keep on going?
Yeah, I kept on going.
Professional, consummate
you
professional.
You got to keep on going.
Just keep on going.
You got to sing them through it.
Sing them through it. Lainey Wilson is here with us on Absolute Radio Country. So, Lainey, everybody knows your story, but more and more people, you know, the great thing that's happening at the moment is more and more people are coming into country music who thought, like, country music isn't for me. I don't like country music. Suddenly they're like, oh, it ain't home, Texas hold. You know, and then they're into it. So for people who are just coming into country music now, let's grab each other's hand and walk down memory lane with Lainey Wilson here on Absolute Radio Country.
Yeah.
So when did this dream start for you? Like, when were you like, this is the thing that I want to do? Like, were you ever like, I'm going to be a veterinarian? Or were you always...
No, when I was like 4 or 5 years old, I remember telling my parents that I wanted to be an ice skater. I used to love watching the figure skating. But when, the first time I sang out in public was my kindergarten graduation.
Okay.
And I sang Butterfly Kisses. I was dressed up like a little butterfly.
Aww.
And I remember being terrified, but also loving it.
Right.
And I mean, I knew then that I thought that I maybe wanted to do that when I grew up.
And was it the reaction of it, or was it just being on stage? Or
it was just
dressed
that,
as a butterfly?
It was that feeling. Like, my mama would sit on the floor of our little uninsulated house, and because I couldn't read, we would play a line of the song, and then she'd rewind the tape, and then we'd learn the next line, and then we'd rewind it, and so we would go line by line. And I learned the song, and I loved all of it. I loved telling a story. And then at 9 years old, wrote my first song. And then I just got bit by the bug. And that was it. 11 years old, my daddy showed me a few chords on the guitar. And
so your dad played the guitar?
Yeah. So daddy was, you know, he is musical a little bit by ear. He can play the piano a little bit and guitar. And I was just always surrounded by music, and especially country music. I mean, it was the soundtrack of our lives. Mm. We lived it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize it was really a genre. I just knew it was a way of life, and that was it.
And so how old were you when you moved off to Nashville?
I was 19.
All right, you were 19, and you go and you park up a camper van or a trailer.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, but I love this because I think one time when we were talking about it, you talked about how you had to plug it into the ground, like, to get the electricity.
Yeah.
And then when we were talking and kind of reflecting on that, you had just bought yourself a grounding mat. And this is a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about the grounding mat. What does it do?
Okay. So, and I actually should have brought it with me on this trip because I haven't had a lot of time to go put my feet in the grass. But pretty much what a grounding mat does is the same thing as putting your feet in the grass. It just, like, sends this electricity through your body that... just kind of makes you... It's really weird. Have you gotten one yet?
I haven't. No, we talked about it. And when I was coming here to see you, I was thinking like, oh, I need to get a grounding mat.
It makes you feel like you're outside with your feet in the dirt.
And which, you know, anybody who lives in a city, and certainly if you're a country person, you need to have one of those. But what I loved about kind of you telling me about that grounding mat was this kind of... I don't even know, but like, it's not irony... I don't know what it is, but this kind of story of you kind of going off with your dream to Nashville, plugging your trailer in the ground, you know, living in that parking lot, and then years later when you have success, plugging something else into the ground and just always trying to keep your feet on the ground. And I think that, you know, each time we talk, the accolades stack up and you're bigger and you're bigger and you have more hits. And I think that story of you... as big as you get, as successful as you get, trying to keep your feet on the ground is such a lovely and inspiring thing.
How can I say this? I feel like, you know, my life is changing. I will tell you that. I don't feel like I have changed at all. I feel like the things around me continue to change, and it seems like just even me and my team will be like, all right, it's time to level up. And then we level up to whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing or called to do. And then immediately it changes and we got to level up again. So it's a constant like feeling of just like rising to the occasion, I guess you could say, which we're not scared of. But at the same time, it's really important to me to just stay true to who I am and remember why I started doing this in the first place and to not lose sight of those things. And so that's why I'm always searching to make sure that I am grounded and I know who I am in my heart and up above. And I'm thankful that I get to be a vessel and a voice, and it's all good stuff, but it ain't easy.
No, I mean, it's the more success you get, like the I always think that you get to one level and then you're like, oh God, now the work starts.
Yeah.
And then you get to the next level and you're like, Lord have mercy, there's more work
now. Well, yeah,
you
know, when we were harder. Like 16 and you're like, man, if I could just get a car.
Yeah.
And then you're like, man, if I could just get a publishing deal, if I could just get a record deal, if I could just get a hit song, if I could just win an award, and the list goes on, and you're human. And so you do that. But
I suppose you said you haven't changed, but I suppose the way people react to you has changed. You know,
yeah.
I hear this from people who get famous and they say, like, I don't feel like I've changed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I walk through the grocery store and the way that people react to me. And some people, that ends up changing them as well. So that must be a constant battle as well, like you were saying, to just stay.
It is an adjustment to, you know, to have people be really, really excited. And I love it. Like, I never want people to feel like they can't come up and talk to me. But I do have a lot of people I keep close in my life. My family and my friends, they keep me real humble. So there's there's not much that they would let go to my head. I mean, they lift me up and they pump me up, but they remind me who I am.
Yeah, they're your grounding mat.
That's it.
So let's talk about the Grammy Award winning Bell Bottom Country. I mean, I say Grammy Award winning, but we could pretty much insert any award in front of that, because it just took off like wildfire. Did it feel like it took off like wildfire?
Oh.
Because, you know, it's one thing to kind of look back and go, oh my God, it won a Grammy and all of this happened because of this album. But when you're in the middle of it, do you just feel like you're one thing to the next thing? Or did you feel like, oh, this is lightning in a bottle?
There are definitely moments where I felt like I got to just keep my head down and like my blinders on and like just get to the next thing. Because it seems like the last few years, I mean, we have been busy. I'm talking about like just one thing after another. And it seems like especially the last year, the things have gotten bigger, whether it's like the televised things or whatever it is, it feels like more eyes are on you. And yes, I try to make sure that I like zoom out and I realize what's happening, because I don't want to forget these moments. Like, these are the ones that I was dreaming about when I was, you know, writing my first song and all these things. But again, I was dreaming about people singing my songs back to me. And the recognition and the awards are just something that is just a kind of a cherry on top, you know. And I have to remind myself to not start making music
to win awards,
because then that's when it hits the fan and you're doing it for the wrong reasons, and people are smart and people can read through it. So none of these songs on that record and none of the songs that I'm writing now and I pray for the rest of forever, am I saying like I'm writing this so it will win Song of the Year or whatever. If it is, I'm gracious and I'm thankful and I accept the gift, but I can't let it define who I am or what I'm doing, because then you kind of get lost in all of that.
I can't see. I have no idea.
you can get lost in it.
I'm sure you can.
But the recognition, I will tell you, it does give you that pep in your step to be like, dang, I've got people in my corner who believe in me enough to vote for me for things. And yeah, like when it's people who have inspired you and pushed you along the way, and people who are like your biggest influences are telling you like you deserve this, it makes you feel like you got a place in the industry for sure.
Do you ever get nervous anymore?
Every time.
Do you? Every time.
Every
you know,
time.
You were saying you were dressed as a cute little butterfly at your kindergarten thing going on, and you had a mix of kind of excitement and nerves. Is that still the same mix that you get?
I still feel like that 5-year-old little girl. I'll tell you a little story about my kindergarten graduation. I should have known that it was going to be like that the rest of forever. So basically, it was a little play that we were doing. I think it was like 25 kindergarten students. And I was dressed up like the butterfly. And my friend, Justin Lord, was dressed up like the bear. And he was supposed to go around and share a cherry off of a cupcake with everybody.
Okay.
And I had told my teacher, Miss Sturdivant, I said, I don't like cherries. I don't like cherries. And she's like, well, just for the play, you need to just like, just eat the cherry. You'll be fine. Well, I was the last one to take the cherry off the cupcake, and I'm sitting there, and I'm chewing it. Everybody, all the other animals had left the stage, and the spotlight is shining on me, and I am chewing for what seems like 3 minutes, and my grandma was the principal of the school, and she walked up to the front of the stage, and I spit the cherry out in her hand, and then I continued with my song. So I should have known right then that getting on stage was going to be interesting.
I really want a Netflix adaptation of this.
Yeah.
I would watch it. I would absolutely watch it because I'm gripped by the cherry. Do you not like cherries?
These were like those, what do you call them, cherries?
Oh, maraschino cherries.
Like the cherries from Sonic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Sonic. I love a cherry lime Ricky, though.
Now, see, I like cherry flavored things. I just don't like those, like, candy.
I hear
cherries.
You. Yeah, I like real strawberries, but not strawberry flavored things.
Okay.
Gripping. I'm sorry, Adam, we'll move on. That'll go viral.
Uh-huh.
I was at the CMA Awards when you performed Wildflowers and Wild Horses and won everything. And that whole room was just so on your side. It must have felt so good to have kind of like the industry behind you, like you were saying. And then afterwards was at your after party that you had with Jelly Roll.
Yep.
And had a watermelon moonshine shot or two.
Yep.
Producer Ricky could barely handle it. Uh-huh. But it did get us thinking, like, everybody's opening up a honky-tonk on Broadway now. When's Lainey Wilson's honky-tonk coming?
Man, wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't it?
We'll see what happens, but we just got to wait for one of them buildings to empty up.
Well, you know, they're forever changing. What would you call it?
I don't know. I feel like I got a lot of things in my back pocket.
You could call it Lainey Wilson's back pocket.
I could do that.
There we go. So, you know, we had Dasha in here the other day.
Uh-huh.
And she was telling a story where she was at the CMT Awards.
Yes.
And I thought, I can't wait to tell you this because, you know, when you started out, there would be people that you looked up to and that you got to perform in front of and you would kind of catch your breath. And Dasha was saying that her first big performance was at the CMT Awards.
Yeah.
And she was doing Austin. And she went out on stage and she looked out and the first person she saw was Lainey Wilson sitting there. And she said it just kind of took her breath away.
Aww.
And she couldn't stop her heart from beating
so
much. And I wonder if you ever get a moment to reflect on that you are now that person.
That's really wild.
For people.
That's really wild. And I got a chance to meet her and hug her neck. And she just seems like a sweet person. She really does. She just seemed excited to be there. And she seemed like she just has a great attitude. So I'm in her corner.
Yes.
And I appreciate that she looks up to me too.
Yeah, it's because I think sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that, right? Because like you're saying, you're just doing one thing and then you're doing the next thing and all the while you're growing and growing and growing. But underneath you, people are coming up and now looking up to you. And they're
not mess it up.
Well, but also they're thinking like, you know, I want to be that. Like, that is what I want to be. And I just think that's a really, really lovely thing about kind of your journey.
That's very sweet.
Through your career as well. You know what I think of sometimes when I play you on the radio?
What?
One time we were talking, and this was right as I think you had just gotten nominated it was the first time maybe the year that you got 6 CMA nominations, and everybody was kind of starting to go, ooh, Lainey Wilson.
Yeah.
And you said that you had been home and there was somebody in your family or somebody kind of connected to your family that just went, oh, why don't you just move on back home?
That wasn't long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it might have been about 3 years ago now. But even 3 years ago, I felt like, dang, I'm finally kind of starting to do it a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I remember going home for the holidays and I ain't going to tell you who it is, but I hope they're listening.
They said,
when are you just going to come home and be a teacher? Mm. I said, when are you just going to kiss my butt?
When are you going to polish all my awards?
That's right.
Do you see them? Have you seen them since?
You know, I don't think I have. Because it's not like super, super close family.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I don't get to go home a lot. So when I go home, I try to make sure I see my mama, my daddy, the nephews, my granny, and...
I bet you money, though, that person's like, well, you know, I know Lainey Wilson, cousin Lainey. We're like this.
Oh, yeah. We love her. We always knew she was coming.
Oh, I always had her back.
Oh, me, mama, people.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I bet she's eating her words now, for sure. I just want to talk about Yellowstone for a minute because you have so many things that have happened, right? Like, because it isn't just music for Lainey Wilson. It isn't just like, you know, when I was in America, I was seeing you on commercials and Lord, you got a Stanley Cup range and all the rest of it. And Yellowstone is acting something that you obviously acting in songs and you have to bring that to life on stage and in videos kind of every night. But did you get the acting bug as well when you did Yellowstone?
I did. I really did. And truthfully, when I was filming Yellowstone, my daddy was super sick during that time.
Yes.
And so I feel like, I mean, I gave it my best shot. But I definitely wasn't like in the headspace that I wanted to be in for my first thing like that. But yeah, I'm excited to do some more of that. And it's just about being creative for me and putting myself into the shoes of whatever it is, you know, whether I'm writing a song or whether I'm acting. I feel like it's kind of a therapeutic thing to escape yourself for a minute.
Be somebody else. Have you gotten some time this time to enjoy the UK? Because I know you've been over here loads, but I think you've really not had that much time each time to get out and see it. Have you made
some
time?
You know how it's been for us? I mean, here's the thing. I know going to LA, going to New York, and going to London, that they gonna have me working. And that's okay, because I like to work. We hadn't had much time here in London, like getting out and about and seeing some stuff. But in the other towns that we've been to, we've had a little bit more time.
Oh, good. Glorious Glasgow, beautiful Belfast.
Yeah.
Marvelous Manchester.
That's it.
Good. Well, good, because the UK has so much to offer. I mean,
yes.
Because you're so celebrated here and people love you so much. It'd be great for you to get to see parts of the UK rather than just backstage and on stage.
Yeah, I know.
So how far ahead do you think? Are you kind of already working on next year and the year after and new projects?
I mean, we're definitely... I remember a time when we were just trying to figure out what we were going to do the next week. Like me and Mandolin, my manager, we'd put our heads together and be like, you know, like I wonder if maybe you could go play here in a couple weeks or this or that. And now we really are talking about what's happening next year. That blows my mind. So...
Do you ever feel... Are you at the point now where you feel secure? And I ask this, like, because I know creative people are like, forever, even, you know, I spoke to Dolly Parton and she's like, I'm forever, you know, worried that I'm going to be poor. And I was like, Lord have mercy, Dolly Parton.
I feel that. You are not going to be poor.
But
I feel that.
Yeah.
I think, and actually I was telling somebody this last night, or maybe this morning, I can't keep, I'm like, what time is it? Where am I at?
Where am I?
I was telling them that for so long, I feel like I have, like, just strived for something.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had something that I, like, strive for, you know? Even when I was a little girl, you know, I was like, Nashville was the goal. You know, I got to get there. When I get to Nashville, all right, publishing deal, that's the goal. And these goals always just, like, all right, I got it. What's the next thing? It's about switching gears and figuring out what's next. And I think I'm going to be that way, too. Mm. And I don't really see my life being any other way. And I also feel like I was given a gift, and I think I'm supposed to use it. And that's not like a boastful thing. I think, I mean, if your gift is taking care of people, you know, then that's what you should do for the rest of your life, too. If your gift is selling cars, then that's what you should do for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah, when you find your thing.
That's right.
Share it. Well, thank you for sharing yours.
Yeah, thank you.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk Podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.